All right, welcome back. A new week, Curtis. New episode of the podcast, and there's a lot of drama going in the NBA.
Yeah, well, our picks aren't looking too good.
I think I predicted 4-1 for the Celtics, and they're about to play a game six tonight. And I think we predicted maybe 4-2 for Warriors.
Yeah, we said 4-2 for the Warriors over the Rockets, but yeah. Now it's going to have to go seven.
I think so. I mean, we'll touch a little bit more about that. But welcome back to another week. Currently, it is Friday, about an hour and a half before post time here. We're going to take a look at a Saturday's program. And shout out to our friends at Ruidoso. They began their season today.
Huge day today.
16 trials.
Yeah, today, tomorrow, and then you have the Ruidoso Derby trials on Sunday. So 10 more of those there. So it's definitely going all weekend.
I can tell you a lot of pages were printed this week. Look at my stack right here. I've got like a stack of six different days, trials, training races. We'll keep our eyes open on Saturday because we've got Kavian Corona shipping out to Ruidoso. He'll be competing in Sunday's Derby trials.
Yep.
He's listed as a favorite on the morning line, but it's a tough trial. I don't think he should be 9-5 on the morning line, but just because he's undefeated, he's going to take that number.
Yeah, he deserves all the respect. An undefeated horse in the Paul Jones barn going over there. He does have some competition. One horse I really like along the rail there, Chicky Boom Boom V. Uh-huh. Had some trouble last time, but I think he should get the job done. Question is, can he hang with the rest of them in the final?
That's going to be fun. So we'll touch a little bit about everything that's going on across the country. But first, we're going to talk about Saturday's program here at Los Al. We got a 9-race program. Competitive card. I like the card a lot. There's a good mix of 2-year-old events with some good around-the-hook races. And I think that's going to be for a good wagering card. Even a quarter horse race mix in the early pick four. So that's going to throw a little bit of a wrench there. All right, race number one. We got Thoroughbreds going 4.5. $2,500 is the claiming price. We got a field of six. I went back and forth on who I wanted to key in this race. I don't know if I'm going to single just yet, but I feel like the 5, Bella Rocella, has had a few chances. This might finally be the field, and so that's who I'm picking on top. Bella Rocella, I think, could really improve and maybe get a good trip finally for once and get the job done.
Yeah, I went with the other Jesus Nunez just because of dropping down in class, cut the claiming price in half, but I thought the 3 Diamond Proof and the 5 Bella Rocella were kind of the same horse. They're going to look for that stalking trip. Mm-hmm. And I just went with the 3 because of the class drop. Maybe can use that to his advantage, find an easier field here, and have a little more closing kick than the 5 down the lane.
Yeah, so you're going to go with the 3. I'll go with the 5. Second choice for me would probably be the 1 Privy. The 3 Diamond Proof is going to be my third choice. But Privy, I thought this one had some legitimate excuses last time. I was off slow, showed a little bit of speed there. And I steadied down the backstretch there and just was empty after that. So the 1, I can build some excuses around that one at 4-1, definitely a horse that I think could be a good use. So I'll go 5-1-3.
Yeah, I went 3-6-5. I threw the 6 in for my second choice. Has been showing speed and weakening light, but it's going to take the blinkers off here. And there's not a whole lot of speed in this field. Only the 2 slightly showed some speed last time, but before that wasn't really showing a whole lot of speed. So maybe can get loose on the front end and get brave there in the stretch.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the main speed threat. Edward Rojas, who has been riding great in the last few months, last month or so, if he can cross over, he's definitely going to be in a good shot to try to steal it on the front end. So again, 5-1-3 for me.
3-6-5.
All right, that's race number 1. Race number 2, 870 yards here, an allowance. So they're all protected. We got a field of 7, and I don't think we've got a quarter horse. No, we don't. So it is all Thoroughbred event here. The morning line favorite is going to be the big favorite, Cow Dog. First off the claim, Chuck Treese showed speed of San Ana and actually led pretty deep into the stretch. Only got caught by a deep closer. Yep. And the third place finish came back to win. Cow Dog is definitely the horse to beat here.
Yeah, I didn't ask him about this horse, but I overheard him with some owners.
No, don't jinx it.
And I heard him saying like, oh, I've wanted this horse for so long. He loves the name Cow Dog for some reason. So he claims it here. He brings it over to Los Al. He drops into an easier spot here, first time 870. But you know, definitely looks the part, has been facing better, and has plenty of early speed. Should be getting the job done here at 4-5.
Yeah, that's going to be Cowdock, who probably looks like the main speed here, other than maybe the one horse, or maybe the 3 and 4 could show some speed. But I'm probably going to go too deep. I'll use the 3, Ball Be Gone, as my long shot play of the night. Last time I finished third, first round against winners, against pretty solid allowance field. You got Rosianna Dana there finishing second there. So, you know, if the 6 makes any kind of mistakes, I think the 3 could benefit there, being lightly raised, hat speed. So I'll go 6-3, 6-3-7 for me.
I went 6-7-1. I just really like the 7, Sharona Sunset, to get a nice trip. Being drawn outside of the 6, Cowdog, and dropping down first time, Los Al, probably going to need an outing, but I think can sit a nice trip. And follow Cowdog probably to the wire there. So maybe an ice cold 6-7 for me.
Yeah, and you know, Sharona Sunset did chase the speed last time out of San Anita. Kind of boxed in between there and just was empty down the stretch. So definitely a horse that could maybe take to the turn there here at Los Al for the first time under the lights. All right, 6-3-7 for me and?
6-7-1.
All right, there we go. Race 2, that's the conclusion of the early double. Race number 3. Exacta Trifecta, and of course you can start a pick 3 here, but there's not going to be any show wagering available, and that is because it appears we have a 2-horse race on paper. The question is, what did you pick on top?
Yeah, I had a feeling this might be your Los Ponies lock of the night.
No, good. Okay, I thought about it, but you know, I like to give a lock where it doesn't look as obvious.
Yeah, okay.
So I almost did it just because. But the morning lines were so close to each other that I got you.
So anyway, I went with the 4, Quantum Force.
We agree.
Yeah, just because this horse has looked razor sharp here the last couple outs at Los Al and been popular at the claim box, but really settled in nicely here. Steps up again for Angela Aquino, first time to the $5,000 level. It's got to contend with the 6, Atomic Action, the horse to its outside, been showing speed over at Santa Anita, but you know, like we said before, sometimes they need an outing, and Quantum Force, I don't think you can make any mistakes right now with how sharp this horse is.
Yeah, this horse broke good. Duel was hard-ass there to keep on pace, but finished strong nonetheless there, 51-1. Has been claimed now the last 3 out of the last 4 outings.
Yeah.
3 out of the last 5. Yeah. And this horse just loves to win races. Back-to-back runaway wins, I agree. I give the 4 the edge here over the 6. The 6 is definitely going to take plenty of money coming in from Santa Anita, where this one broke good, had the lead, and then just battled into deep in the stretch and then weakened there to 5th. Edgar Payeras jumps aboard for Anthony Saavedra. So definitely it looks like the 2-horse race on paper. A long shot horse, maybe underneath, will probably be the one here. Love Your Life for me. I thought this horse broke good, settled right around 2nd or 3rd there. Kind of moved up, was blocked, didn't have any room, and just lost a lot of punch there in that race. If this horse was entered back in another similar spot, or probably picked him on top, but obviously against these top 2 runners, this horse is going to be a big price. So I'll go 4-6-1.
I went with the 3 horse in my 3rd spot, Surfing Angel, just because it's been coming out of 870s. I think this horse will be a little more forwardly placed other than the 1, 2, and 5, so should get a nice stocking trip. I don't think it's talented enough to threaten the 4 or the 6 here, but I definitely can see it right there in the 3rd spot.
Yeah, that's going to be race number 3. Reminder, pick 3 available in race number 3 because the pick 6 will begin in race number 4. And if nobody hits the pick 6 on Friday night, we could be looking at a huge carryover. I know Friday night we're having around 13,000 carryover in the pick 6. And Friday night card looks very competitive as well, so. For the pick 6 players out there, if this could carry over, it's going to be another competitive sequence here to start with race number 4. We got 300 yards, maiden claimers, 12.5 is the claiming price. If you want to buy one of these fine equine specimens, shout out to Mike Joyce. I know he's one of the 4 listeners of this podcast. Mike Joyce listening in. But I went back and forth between two or 3 runners here. But in the end, after watching the replays a couple times, I think the 2 is Zoo. That's okay. Who I landed. I landed on the 2. Kind of hesitated at the start last time out, but had a clear path and just missed second there by a neck. could have easily finished second. And the winner, One More Cigar, was a runner that had been knocking on the door as well. So
yeah,
I'll take the 2-trumper here. 5-2 on the morning line. Drop it in class for attack for the first time.
Yeah, Trumper looks just the part here. Drops in first time for the tag. You know, like you said, running against One More Cigar and just didn't get off that well last time, but finished really well. Only a length to those horses. Yeah. I think One More Cigar and Sovereign Jess, you know, they'd be pretty tough to beat here in this field. But I went to the outside. Hey, Beautiful. I like where this horse is drawn. It's been drawn down along the inside the past 3 or 4 starts, and last time just stumbled and broke in and came on running, only finished 3/4 of a length behind A La Mode. Really a strong runner from the John Cooper barn for that level, yeah. I think. But I just like where this horse is drawn, and Matt Fales has his new jockey up, Rosmo Gasca, mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, he can do what Cruz hasn't been able to do and get the job done.
Is Alamo the runner that I had been knocking on the door forever? Finally, yeah. Dropped for a tag and got claimed.
Yeah,
I
got exactly.
Voided, right?
Yeah, I believe that was this race where they finally, yeah. Alamo broke his maiden. That was just one that everybody, I think, kind of had maybe not high hopes for, but definitely looked, yeah. You know, looked the part.
Yes.
But it could be an allowance run, but just couldn't get the job done ever. Just kept running seconds. Yeah, so if you run second to Alamo at that level, you know, it's definitely something to look forward to next time.
Yeah, Hey Beautiful there is going to draw the outside in post number 8. My second choice is going to be the 6-horse, Lady La Jolla, a bit of a price here at 10-1. Switching to the barn of Kristen Watanabe. I thought this horse broke very good last time out from the outside and just missed second there. Found the best ride too late. Maybe this one could move up and has been improving each and every start, the numbers per se. So we'll see what this one can do, but that's probably going to be one of my long shot plays of the night. 10-1 on the morning line for Lady La Jolla. For my third choice, it was a toss between the 1 and the 8 here, but I figured you're going to get a better price on the 1, so I'll go with that one. I've been knocking on the door. Comes out of the similar races there as Hey Beautiful. Last time out, this one was slow, bumped, recovered. Should have probably won there against Lolita B. So I'll give the 1 another shot here. So 2-6-1 for me.
Yeah, 1-8-2-6. Same thing that you said about the 6, Lady La Jolla. I think you're just getting a really nice price here at 10-1 for a horse that only finished a nose behind Hey Beautiful. And, you know, that's my top pick, so I got to throw it in there somewhere. You know?
Yeah, so my whole motto for using the 1 and the 6 is they come out of the same race, you know, against Hey Beautiful, and they both showed much more trouble than I think maybe the 8 showed.
Okay.
So I'm banking that maybe you're going to get a better price on both the 1 and the 6. So overall, we kind of agree on some price we're seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like you said, they just have a lot of similar running lines. I mean, even Fus Manchu, if you like the 1, right. Fus Manchu was running right there with the 1.
I'm pretty sure I chased
in the last time, Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some long shots here. The 7 and 8-1 and the 6, 10-1. Those are some pretty good odds.
And, you know, La Candidata, which means translation, the candidate. lone first-time starter in this field. 3-0 Palomino, Philly.
You don't see many of those. No, you think Bergart knows something here? He laid this horse 5-1.
Well, the workout was, I think the workout was good compared to this level.
Okay.
But I couldn't really put this horse there right on top just because there's a lot of more racing experience around the other runs. But this one, 3-year-old, can this horse be had run in some unrecognized races?
We've had that happen here in the past. You never know.
Because once you have 3-year-olds, because quarter horse racing, it's all about the 2-year-old campaign, right?
Yeah.
So once you have 3-year-olds, 4-year-old quarter horse debuting for the first time, you start to wonder, I wonder if they were running some unrecognized races. But this horse looked very professional in that May 8th drill. Broke fast, was tapped maybe 4 or 5 times, but you can tell this horse was shorting stride late, got a little bit tired. So I'll take a wait and see approach on the 5 o'clock Candidata.
Yeah, same with me. I'm just going to go 8-2-6 in here.
All right, there we go. Race number 4. Race 5, mid card double starts in race number 5, also a pick 3, and of course, Exacta Trifecta and Superfecta wagering available. 870 yards is the distance, claiming 6250 for a purse of 11 grand. That's a nice purse here. And we don't have a quarter horse, so it's all thoroughbred events. I went to the 5, Hot Bob. I'll make this horse my lock of the night.
Really?
Yeah, 7-2 And you got to think about it. There's a horse, 9-5, a 5-2, a 7-2, and a 7-2.
Okay.
So there's four out of the six horses that are going to be right there. And I'm keen. 5, Hot Bob, lock of the night. I remember that night, I didn't pick this horse at all. This horse was not on my radar coming in from Golden Gate. But I was very impressed with his effort. Kind of shuffled back at the start, rushed up along the inside, and had to steady around the turn, and then kind of drifted maybe 6 wide and lost some ground, and then came back running. So I thought that was a better than look drill, so I'll key the 5 here, Hot Bop, second time out here, Losa.
Yeah, the 5 definitely looks like it's a contender. I just am waiting for this horse maybe to drop down a little more, and then I was hoping maybe get thrown in for 5,000 and 4.5.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure it has the early quickness. Maybe second time at Los Al here, you know, it shows something better. But I just had to go against it this time. But I went back and forth between the 2 and the 6.
Okay.
Drosa Sky and Grass Runner. I wanted to pick the 6 on top, but I just thought bumping them all the way up to 6,250 might be a little too tough a task, because the 1 Our Nation is probably going to press Grass Runner early.
This is the runner we need in some inside info.
Yeah. Before I thought this horse was just going the other way.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, he pops up and he runs 2 huge races. So that's what kind of got me going back and forth. But I'm going to play the class angle here for the 2, Adrosa Sky for Angie Aquino, first time off the claim. I think it has a lot of early quickness here to sit right behind the 1 and the 6 and get first run. You know, gets Kelly McDade aboard. Her and Angie do really well. I think this one should have the it should be contending with Hot Bob, for the stocking trip. But I'm looking for the 2 to get the best run light.
Yeah, I do agree. The 2 is my second choice. Adrosa Sky, just for all the things you mentioned. This comes out of the fast race there, 51 flat against a pro in Changing Karma, who we've known to be a very competitive runner around the hook. My third choice would probably be the 1. Our Nation had a tough time envisioning who's going to get the lead. You know, can the 6 really cross over from the outside post? So I landed on the 5 as the 1 as my third choice. So I'll go 5-2-1 here.
Yeah, I went 2-6-1. Just hopefully Grass Runner might be able to get loose on the lead. Might get my picture taken.
Yes.
I don't know, but I don't see it happening. I think he can get out there and finish second or third.
What do you think Grass Runner's got to do? Does he got to cross over?
Oh, he's got to clear the 1.
Right? He's got to.
I'm just scared at the 1 being drawn inside and has been facing a lot better horses, you know, Sakuto and Ajax, horses like that. Probably has the better trip here of Grass Runner, but I just don't want to throw Grass Runner out because he's gotten so hot, and I like to stick with hot horses.
Yeah.
So I went 2-6-1.
All right. My lock of the night coming in here, Hot Bob, and I'm on a little bit of a hot streak, I want to say. I want to say my lock of the night has come in 3 nights in a row, if I want to say. I think I betted 1,000 last weekend. I might have gone 3 for 3.
Yeah,
I know for sure, too.
Yeah, I know I was watching, too, because Caleb was saying that you hit it the night before, I think. So, and then you hit it again on Sunday, right?
So I'll have to do some research and see if I'm batting 3 for 3. But let's make it 3 or 4 in a row.
Yeah, just keep it going.
Yeah, let's keep it going. Nobody remembers last week. What counts is right now. All right, race number 6, the start of the late pick 4 here on this 9 race program. We got quarter horses going 300 yards, maidens, 2-year-olds. We got a good mix of runners. We got a few runners that are dropping from a futurity trial, a lot of them dropping from straight maidens. Other ones have been competing at similar levels. So it's a good race here to try to mix it up here. I landed on the 6, who is going to be your morning line favorite. Yep, 5-2 on the morning line. Silver Bullet Dash, just coming out of that rapid trial there, who produced your fastest qualifier, SC Moneymaker, and the eventual winner, Wicked Affair, of the kindergarten. I thought this horse broke okay. Lost a little bit of the footing there, a few strides out of the gate, and just finished evenly. Much, much easier group today. I think the 6 has found his prints, probably.
Yeah, if you just look at those running lines, that's everybody that was in the kindergarten fraternity there. SC Moneymaker, Wicked Affair, Striver. You know, he had to face against all the big guns there in his first 2 outings. I went with the 7, Cupid's Honor, just because I thought this horse ran a nice even race and broken and bumped and kind of finished evenly after that. Second to another, or I'm sorry, fourth to another Paul Jones runner, BF Farmhand. But drops down a little in class here, and I think it ran a decent time for this level. I think if you probably break 16 seconds here, you're probably going to be the winner in this field. So I just thought I had every right to improve off that that first outing. Just needs to get out of the gate without any trouble.
Yeah, Cupid's Honor is going to be my third choice. My second choice is going to be the 5, La Romerita, for Jaime Gomez. This horse kind of broke out at the start, was brushed in between horses. And I thought this horse was moving okay late there in that race. Seventh, obviously, was last in that field of seven, but beating just a length and three quarters in a bunch of field coming out of the same race as the 7 Cupid's Honor. So I think those two horses are a must use here to start the pick four. So I'll go 6, 5, 7.
I went 7, 6, 8. I threw the 8, Felina Flash, there in for third. Kind of the same angle as why you picked the 6, Silver Bullet Dash. Just has been running against all the top players here. Tack Me Up and Delayed Steel, SC Coronada. Time before that, Fame's Prize, Stoned, LOL. So just draws the outside here, which I really like, and has had two troubled starts. So hopefully just gets away clean, and maybe Rodrigo brings home a nice little price.
Rodrigo is going to be on the outside. And shout out to Rodrigo. His CM Boom Shakalaka from the outside. He got the job done last week. All right, race number 7, the late pick 3. If you're out of the pick 4, you can always bank on getting a little bit more action here with the late pick 3. Field of 7, we got quarter horses going 300 yards. This is going to be a straight maiden field. There's a few runners. Actually, there's only one first time starter. That's going to be the rail horse, Quirkiness. The 6, Demi Moore, is going to be your morning line favorite at 7-5, coming out of a very good second there at Remington. Could this be a SC Moneymaker 2.0?
That's what I was thinking. I put the 6 on top. 15:53 is a really good time over there, and look to be closing in its debut. So as long as he comes out here and he's been training okay, he put up a 12-4 gate work there May 12th. So I think definitely looks like the class of this field.
Yeah, Demi Moore definitely with that good second, the good time, the racing experience. Now, obviously, the strong connections here, Mike Robinson and Oscar Peinado, deserves to be the morning line favorite. But I gave the check mark to the inside runner, the first time shotter, Quirkiness, for Jimmy Glenn and owner breeder Ed Allred. 2-year filly by Still Corona out of Don't Pass Bar. I like how this horse looked in the drill, broke straight. That was my main takeaway. Broke very straight, was tapped just once there to get it into stride and really finished nicely there in 12:30. I like the inside draw just because I like how well she broke in that drill. So I'm going to take a shot against Demi Moore, and I'll put the 1 on top here. Third choice, it's going to be the 7. Why Not Dash, Montia Rosa, Jose Nicasio. I thought this horse broke great in debut. Kind of drifted out. Should have probably been second there behind Just Flashy, who was a runaway winner. But I think the race is centered around those three runners. So I'll go 1, 6, 7.
Yeah. Just different order. I went 6, 1, 7. I thought Why Not Dash would be able to get a nice clean break besides Demi Moore, and came out on top last time, just lugged out. And I don't think this horse can beat the 6 or the 1, but should get a clean trip from the outside.
Yeah, 5-1, you're probably going to get better odds because I expect the 2 horse to take some money dropping in class there from a maturity trial, Jones. So that's probably going to take some play there. And then you're noticing that Ayala's not listed here. Because Ayala will be a Reynoso. He's scheduled to be a Reynoso to ride KV and Corona, and maybe 1 or 2 more runners there. So you get Ruben Lozano here on improvise on some of the Paul Jones runners. Race number 8. There's 2 races left. You know what time it is. Late double time. And we've got a field of 8 here to kick it off. And they're going to go 300 yards maidens.
Has the handle of the late double went up since you started pumping it on TVG?
Let's do some research. Let's try to do that.
Let's get the professor on that.
Let's ask Professor G next time out and see if the late double has seen a nice spike. What has seen a nice spike is the pick fours.
Just been kicking butt.
I mean,
every single night we're starting to see double trumpets as a regular occurrence.
So. I think the late before we got like 196, which is unheard of.
Yeah, I think that was 30,000 over the previous late pick four record. Yeah. So.
We're getting spoiled over here.
We're rolling right along.
Remember when we used to have the banners before I even worked here? There were like the banners of like guaranteed 25,000. Remember? They were in the winner's circle. I remember those.
Yeah.
Now it's like, Who needs banners?
I told Professor, I think we might need to guarantee 150,000.
Yeah.
Okay. But he broke out in a cold sweat when I saw
that. Yeah, the budget of the marketing department could take a big hit there. So, all right, late double time here in race number 8. Like I mentioned, 300 yards, maiden event. And I went with a little bit of a middle price here. The 5, my Majestic Mr. Perry, owned, trained, and bred by Jaime Gomez. That was a better than look fourth. Broke clean, kind of brushed with the inside runner. Was running kind of with the head high. Then lost his path and altered out. I thought it was a very, very good effort considering everything that was going on. Could have easily finished third with a little bit better racing luck. And had previously worked 12:30 before that debut. I think the 5 could improve second time out. 4-1, I think that's going to be a solid price on the 5.
Yeah, I picked the 5 Majestic Perry in second for all the reasons you mentioned. Just was a better-than-look race, but it was quick early.
Yep.
Just kind of got lost there, lugged in, and had to alter out. But I went with another mid-level price here. I went with the 3 Hoodlum.
We flip here. That's my second choice. Okay.
Yeah, I thought we'd take a shot here and try and beat the favorite in this race. For Mania Rosa and Cesar de Alba, always a good combo. They're at 30%, but this horse is a half to zoom in for Spuds.
Yes, Jim Walker, owner breeder.
And on that May 8th drill, had a really nice drill of 12-3, but came back May 19th, and I don't know what was wrong with it. It didn't lug out. It didn't look green or anything, but I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't this horse's day. It didn't really have his mind on running, but I'm hoping I get the May 8th drill. Yeah. And maybe we can get a little price where he was kept to task the whole time.
But what I do, you know, I picked him on second, like I mentioned. But what I did like was he's a big body gelding. He's a big body gray gelding.
Okay.
He was kind of making up ground on the workmate there without even being asked in that drill. So I definitely see the potential for Hoodlum here. So I go 5-3, you go 3-5.
And then pick the 7, third.
We're just flipping here. I agree on that point as well.
Yeah, I thought this was just another class angle, first time out. I thought ran a pretty good second to Conquering Marie, who's, you know, the really nice Mike Robbins runner.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of weakened there. But I thought it was hard to load before that, so maybe that had something to play in there. Then the next time out, went against Stevie B, Flash of Cash. In that fraternity trial, was bumped and stumbled at the start, but draws really nicely here. Finally gets an outside post draw. I think is definitely better than the 6 and 8, so should have clear sailing from out there.
All right, so 5-3-7 for me and
3-5-7.
All right, so we flip-flop again the first and second place horses there in race number 8. Race number 9, the final race of the night. And this is a little bit of a head-scratcher. We're going 100 yards, so.
Yeah, these are always fun.
Yes, they are. We got a field of 6. We got a few runners that had some racing experience going 100 yards before, and a few others that are going to try it for the first time. I'll let you pick first here. What did you like?
Okay, I went with the 5.
Oh,
new hot
luck. Second chase for me.
Okay, just because all those ones in the break column.
Yes, I know.
That's why I went with them, solely just for that.
I was kicking myself so on air last time out so bad because of this. I mean, we overthink it. If you're looking at a 100-yard dash, right?
Yeah.
And you look at this horse's past performances, first, had broken on top 5 consecutive times before last time out, got off at 3-1 with the outside draw going 100 yards, and that's horse one. So, yeah, sometimes you can't overlook it. So, one hot luck is going to be your pick.
Yeah, I just firing right back with the 5. Just usually breaks on top, so that's the name of the game in the 100-yard dash.
I do agree. That's going to be my second choice. My first choice, it's going to be a runner that I've played before, I've chased before, kind of been has been a little bit of head case a few times, and I'm talking about the 6 Charter Flight. But when this horse really has his mind on behaving in the gate and not acting up, the 6 can show some good talent, like he showed 2 starts back going 100 yards. Broke the maiden in 662 pretty easily there. I like this one switching to the outside. Last time I just stumbled and bumped and, you know, lost all chance there. Comes out of that same effort though. They're flipping post positions. I'll give the 6 the slight edge tonight. So 6-5. And third choice, I'll give it to the 1. Tell her she's first. Broke great last time out. Had the lead. That horse would have been 100 yards. Probably would have won. So picking up Caesar is always a good thing. So I'll go 6-5-1.
I went 5-1-2. I also like the one horse. Some of the reasons you were talking about it, but again, a lot of ones in there in the break column. Mm-hmm. So for third, I went with the two Royal Primetime. This horse is also a quick breaker, but this time gets Rodrigo aboard, one of the best gate jockeys ever at Los Alamitos. So maybe we can get a nice little price there in the ninth.
And, you know, talking about Rodrigo, he kind of, we've seen him traveling the last month or so. He went to, he was at Arizona. He was at Tour Paradise. He was at Sam Houston. And I just feel like injuries got the best of his career the last few years. I mean, he was on par to be maybe the only jockey that could have ever gotten second to Eddie's record of all-time wins. He could have probably, like, I don't think anybody's going to break that record.
Yeah.
But I think he could have gotten, established himself as a clear second as far as those standings go. But then injuries, you know, every time he was out for an injury, he would come back, and in a month, like, a horse would step on him in the gate or something. Like, it's just been unlucky, but.
I think it's kind of the same thing we saw with Ramon Goosey.
Yes.
When he would come back, and right away he would get hit with something else, and now he's been out for a long period of time, and I think just the same thing has happened with Rodrigo. Kind of you fall out of favor with Barnes. Maybe not fall out of favor, but just out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, and he's just trying to work his way slowly but surely. And like we said, he's getting older, so new connections are being established all around between jockeys and trainers. But you know, don't ever count Rodrigo out.
No, and now that he's riding for Jesus Nunez. It's a good barn to be in because you got a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
It's all about numbers. You just want to ride and get being consistent form. You know, obviously you want to ride the good horse, but as long as you're riding, you're going to make a little bit of money in the mount fees, and obviously you're going to get a little bit better rhythm. So it's good to see him getting some mounts here, and maybe you're going to see him with a future Jesus Nunez runners as he's listed on the two Royal Prime Time.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Nunez is. His business is booming, whether it's thoroughbreds and quarter horses. Yes. He just picked up E.G. High Desert Farm. And Jonathan Roman seems to be riding most of the E.G. High horses. But, you know, they have so many. I'm sure Rodrigo's been working a few if he's over there at the Jesus Nunez barn. And, you know, picking up second calls on that barn is no small effort. You know, you can find some runners there.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, that's the card for Saturday night at Los Alamitos. But we'd also just wrapped up their first day of trials for the Ruidoso Futurity on Friday evening. That was about a month ago. So they picked top five fastest qualifiers for Friday, and they'll come back and run another 16 trials on Saturday morning, and they're going to pick the next five fastest qualifiers here to go into the final.
I've been 11th. A few times. I couldn't imagine being sixth and not qualifying.
That's brutal.
I mean, 11th feels like your heart gets torn out. I can't imagine how hard it's got to be to sit there and you put up an amazing time you think for that day, and you find out you're sixth.
It's brutal.
Especially with the weather over there, the wind changing. Yeah, maybe it rains for the first three, and then it gets hot for the next five.
They don't call it the mountain for nothing. I mean, the weather can change within the hour out there.
Yeah.
Race to race.
It's definitely so hard. It's a crapshoot over there. You have to run not only a perfect race, but you got to, you know, compete against the weather as well.
Yeah, and you know, shout out to Ty Wyant. They're tweeting out a lot of good info on the Ruidoso Press Box account. And I say this because he tweeted out, a tweet was sent out from that account that there were three runners that were supplemented for $30,000 each, I believe so, for the trials. And you want to talk about some bad beats. There was a couple of horses that I think two ran on Friday that were paid into.
Yeah, Linder 16, who won a Futurity already. She went out there and she won her trial. And I think she ends up qualifying sixth.
Oof.
Sixth or seventh. Oh. I know it was right there because the fifth fastest was 18.036, and she went 18.05. So, it was 30 grand to be supplemented into these trials. You know, the connections, you know, had every right to put her in and ran the race, but just racing luck, missed by a couple hundredths of a second.
Yeah, it's tough. So that gives you a little bit of idea how tough it is. just getting to a final, it's a big accomplishment, whether it's for a Birdman prospect, maybe a nice sire prospect, a runner that has not been gelded just yet. So yeah, it's tough when you miss out on the big dance just by a little bit. But I want to say, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? We gave some picks at Remington. We got to pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah, I think overall we've been doing a pretty good job in the podcast. Not only we've been bringing winners, but you know the long shots
underneath.
We have put a bunch of logical long shots in there.
Oh, and, I took a bad beat with my long shot last week. Divide them up.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, that was brutal.
It hurt.
What was he, 8-1?
8-1. And like he stumbled and still lost by like a whisker.
Yeah.
Absolute whisker.
Yeah, I felt you on that one. That was horrible.
And I was like, oh, you know, when they usually stumble and when they get out like that, I'm like, all right, whatever. All is lost, right? Whatever. And then he comes back running. I'm like, oh, we got a shot. And then here comes the class dropper on the outside with new jockey. Is it Armando?
Viramonte.
Is it Armando? I don't want to mess up the name.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But you know, was he 16 years
old? 16 years old, gets his first win ever on the outside. So congratulations.
That was the only reason why I picked that horse up on top. It could just kind of look like one of those races.
Yeah, it is Armando Viramonte.
Where they wanted to get the jockey their first win.
Yes.
I didn't know he was 16 years
Me
old.
Me either. No.
But yeah, it just looked like it, one of those races. But yeah, what a brutal beat for you.
That was tough. But the lock one, which is was a runner coming in from Golden Gate, which I never rarely do. But it was a runner coming in from Golden Gate in race four. Yeah, it was to close out the early before, I think. Mm. It was, I forget, something lock or something. Actually, they had the lock. I think it might have had the lock.
Lock on the lock?
It might have had lock. But whatever, it was a runner showing speed at Golden Gate, came back and won pretty nicely here. I want to say it was Eric Garcia aboard. But yeah, that was a tough beat on dividing me up. So, but we've had a few good opinions. You came up with a nice price last week as well. I want to say it was a six horse. I remember the name.
Yeah, was it a Quiet Up? Something I think like it was that. Either Quiet Up or Quiet Up, but I know it was Yunette Rodriguez.
Yes.
They claimed it and they raised it up to 25,000. But that one went in my way. Just got up in the final strides. But yeah, so overall, I think we've done a pretty good job for everybody.
That's quarter horse racing for you. A little bit of luck every now and there to win the photos. If not, we don't want to book the bad beat there first. All right, so we talked to Remington a few episodes ago. And we went 2-for-2, and I don't think they were both the favorites.
I remember yours got bet down. You must have well given it out on TVG.
Yeah, we covered the race, and it was like 6-1. Going to the gate, and we were talking about it. I think it went off at 3-1 or 2-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
Mine
went off 2-1, 3-1. Yeah, I think right where it was laid. So.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about day two of Ruidoso trials. So hopefully you're listening before the trials go off. My pick is going to be later on the card, so I'm pretty sure people will have plenty of time to listen to it. But I'll give you the bet here. Who give me a play here for Ruidoso? 16 trials. Where are we going to look to?
Okay, you gotta wait almost all day.
Ooh.
So you're going to the 13th, lucky 13th trial.
I like this.
It's number 7, Music for Your Ears, for trainer Mark Jungers. This horse is 7-2. But I bet against it last time. You know, I thought it ran a decent first race, only lost, by, I think, by half a length or so.
Mm-hmm.
But second time out, I played against it, but this horse just ran a monster race. I mean, horse almost won by 3 lengths and really caught my eye. So I put him in the virtual stable. Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be at the mountain the next time I saw this horse. But comes in here. There's another horse in the same trial named Steaming Eagle, who I really like as well. But it's going to beat our benefit in here and take some money. I really think Music for Ears can benefit from this post and should run a big race here.
And by the way, a little bit of observation I made during day one, the inside was a little bit tricky. There was the inside post, maybe the one hole and the two hole. You didn't really want to be there on day one. Kind of a little bit heavy there. A lot of horses didn't kick on as we thought they would. But there were some nice winners also from the rail. So this what I'm going to do. I'm going to upgrade the runners that really ran well from the rail on day one. Maybe add them to your virtual stable for later down the road. And the horse that didn't run all that good, we'll give him some excuses and maybe bet him next time out. So The inside was not the place to be. I'm going to get off the rail as well for my pick, but you're going for the seven music to your ear, music for your ears, 7-2 on the morning line. What kind of odds would you take here to win?
I think it should go off 5-2. Okay. Probably.
That's probably what you would take.
Yeah. I think 5-2.
Okay.
Is what this horse is probably going to be at, because I think Steaming Eagle is probably going to take some good money.
I agree.
That's why I really like this horse. Just from that effort last time was so visually impressive, and from along the rail. I think 5-2 and above is a great price on this horse.
This is good. How convenient. I'm looking at the wagering menu. First leg of the pick four. First leg.
Single right off the bat. First there you go. Leg.
And you don't got to go too far for my pick, because my pick's going to be two races later in race 15.
Okay.
So we've got two singles potential in the pick four. So we can go single, all single, and hope for some prices.
So when we play the pick four, and if we do hit, we know why it pays so low.
Yes, yes.
We can actually know that people are listening.
Yes, yes. So we're gonna see if we can make some noise here. So race 13, the 7 for Curtis, music for your ears. Flip it over to race 15. I'm gonna give you a first time starter, a debuter here in race 15. I'm going to the 9 horse, Sarah Just Fine V. This one bred and owned by Valeriano Racing Stables. Oklahoma bred. I like the trial there, the training race, excuse me, at Ridoso on the 7th of May, which I believe was the first day of trials. What did I say?
The 7th? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Monday.
Yeah, first day of trials. This horse went in training race, excuse me, number 9. I just love how this horse broke absolutely perfect, was tapped maybe 2 or 3 times, and was under a pull late. That's definitely going to be my play there. Over the day at Ridoso, 7-2 on the morning line, and I think we're gonna get somewhere around there, 5-2, 3-1, because of the 4 horse America Rules for Gerald Reed and G.R. Carter broke the maiden in Remington Park in a solid clocking as the betting favorite. It's 2-1 on the morning line, and it's one of the two runners that has experience and the only standout as far as racing experience goes. So I do think the 4 is gonna get bet down, and I think we'll get maybe hopefully 3-1 or 5-2 on the 9. Sarah Just Fine B. So, all right. So, race 13, the 7 for you. Race 15, the 9 for me. So,
yep.
Let's try to buy this pick 4. So, we'll go single, buy all, field of 9, buy single, buy all, field of 10. So, it costs us $45 for 50 cents.
It's not bad.
We can split it, $22.50 each.
As long as you get some bombs in there, you could try and pull this thing.
There were some big bombs in day 1.
Yeah, I played against. What was it, the biggest bomb of the day, 45-1, and I couldn't even, you know, figure out, you know, how to bet this. Maybe that it was a West Giles runner.
Yeah.
That was about the only thing, but yeah, he came up with a 45-1 shot and blew up all my tickets.
Man, that's the thing about trials. Those kind of days, I love betting them, but now more so I love betting verticals. I love betting trifectas or just straight win bets, and then exactly. That's what I love to bet, because if I'm right about that race, I want to cash out at least something.
Okay.
I think sometimes we get a little bit greedy and we're like, oh, I've got a 5-1 single. I'm going to crush this pick 4.
Yeah.
And like, it feels like you go 3 deep and your 4 choice beats you. You go 5 deep, the big bomb wins. So it's tough.
That actually is what kind of happened to me today. I liked the horse. What was his name? My Dad Don?
Yeah, My Dad Don or My Don Dad or something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Yeah, a horse for Mike Joyner on the outside that I just thought I had a huge work, and I was going to single, and I did, but I didn't even get to him. And the horse is 5-1, so what happens? I get to the race, and the horse goes from 5-1, gets bet down to, I think, 8-5, something like that. I think everybody else had seen the works I had, and I just didn't get as much of a price as I would have in my pick 3s.
But, yeah,
thing about Ruidoso, they don't have the rolling pick 3s or rolling doubles, you know, doubles all that stuff. No. You do kind of have to pinpoint down. But, yeah, just play to your strong points.
Yeah, so we'll see if we can get lucky there at Los Al and also at Ruidoso. But let's talk a little bit about the NBA drama going on. So now it is confirmed Chris Paul is out for Game 6
of
Warriors-Rockets. So is this a layup for the Rockets in Game 6 at least?
Or for the Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
for the Warriors. It should be.
They're back at home.
Yeah, back at home. No Chris Paul, who is pretty much doing all the damage there at the end of
Have
that.
Have you seen that stat for James Harden from the 3-point line? The last,
oh,
5 games?
is something brutal,
he's
right?
Zero for like 20 or something.
Yeah.
and like since game four, like in the last three games or like whatever it might be,
yeah,
two or three games, he's like hasn't hit a three.
Yeah, what happened to him?
I don't know.
Chris Paul, it seemed like every single time during the fourth quarter, he just took the ball down in the corner there, and he was just running at whoever they got him off the pick. Who is it? David West?
Is that who it was? David West. Yeah.
So he was just.
Isn't David West like 45 years old?
I know. He's trying to guard Chris Paul. So he was just kind of having his way with him there at the end, kind of just running the same thing every time. But, yeah, the Rockets just the last couple games, man, they've been making Golden State play to their strengths.
You got
to
give them credit. Like, and they've been playing terrible, too. Like, both – like, the Warriors have played so bad late in the games that it's unheard of. Maybe I feel that they never really challenged or played these kind of games during the season. Then now it's like, okay, now we got to play, but like,
yeah,
it's a little bit weird to see him like,
kind of like the old Lakers attitude where they just had to turn it on.
Yeah,
and maybe sometimes you turn it on too late or you find the wrong opponent. Yeah.
So I don't know. So yeah, I do think it's going seven. If it goes seven, I think Chris Paul's going to come back no matter what. I think he's going to come back and play because he did that with the Clippers for a game seven against the Spurs, and obviously he had the game winner there off the glass.
Mm-hmm.
To eliminate the Spurs in round one, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago. But for sure, he's out for game six. I think he's going to try to play game seven no matter what happens.
I think for his legacy, he's got to get up.
I think so, right?
And he's got to play in a game seven, and he's got to play the finals.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have your legacy like Jay Cutler Bears where he doesn't want to play and other guys are – you know, have broken bones and stuff like that, and they're blocking for him and all that. So, Chris Paul, you gotta man up. You gotta do whatever you gotta do to get that hamstring going.
I gotta say, his body language there after he injured it didn't look good. So he's definitely out for game six. So I'll give game six obviously to the Warriors. Like everyone's gonna be a big favorite there in Vegas. I think it goes to a game seven. Obviously, who do you have taking game seven? With or without Chris Paul?
I'm still going Golden State.
Okay.
I think they're the better team. I think they'll figure it out. Hopefully they stop playing as much ISO ball as they've been playing, even though, you know, it's to their advantage. I just don't think that's their game. I think when they have the ball moving around, I think that's their strength, and then they'll get it going there in game seven.
All right, so we're still taking Golden State in seven. The Celtics and Cavaliers, Boston is up now 3-2. They're currently playing game six. There are 6 minutes left in the second quarter, and the Cavs are up by five. All right, so here's my take on this one. So if the Cavs, obviously, if the Cavs win this one, there's gonna be a game seven. But if the Cavs win this, I think they win it all. I think they're really turning it on for a game seven. If obviously that's it in the end of the road, obviously, if Celtics win. But I think if it goes to a game seven, I think the Cavs will win.
I think the Celtics got to do it tonight.
Yeah, they have to.
LeBron's so tough in game seven.
Yeah. you don't want to face him in a game seven.
No, he just bears down. And, totally agree. If he shows up in a game seven after tonight, Cavs are taking it.
Yeah, so 6 minutes there left in the second quarter. Cavs are up by six on Boston. They're outscoring them 19-8 in the second quarter right now. So they really turn it on in the second half. And it looks like LeBron already has 15 in the game. 6 minutes ago. So LeBron,
hop on my back.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody hop on. I'll handle the ship. So yeah, if the Cavs win, I think they're gonna win game seven just because I think LeBron is gonna turn it on for a game seven. So all right, that's the show for this week. Let's see if we can pick some winners, both here and at Redoso. And shout out to the people at at Redoso, the new ownership. Obviously, Jeff True, new general manager. They're implementing a lot of new stuff. There are a lot of security measures. I think I've seen some good measures they're taking, trying to weed out as many of the bad apples as they can.
Yep.
Obviously, they're not there. They're not there where they want to be. There's a few more things to be done, but I like the progress that's going on there at the mountain.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of the press releases, and there's a picture of Jeff True with the local police there. Yes. with the sniffing dogs. Yes. Outside the barn area, and they're kind of forming a line there. And they're not going to allow any of that stuff to go on. No. They're going to try and catch as much as they can. So, big props to all the stuff they're doing over there. They're cleaning up the drug side, all the testing. They're mm-hmm. trying to keep all the bad stuff out of the backside.
Yes.
Everything's looking up.
Yeah, it's good. And, kudos to, obviously, the ownership here at Los Al, Dr. Ed Allred. He really started hammering down on being the cleanest place to run quarter horses. And we got into that point where we could really trust the product that is getting portrayed there each and every night here at Los Al. And, obviously, a lot of the other tracks are now following suit. I think I've seen a tweet about Indiana Grand, also doing hair testing.
Okay.
For some of the big races, I guess. So shout out to them. I was able to visit them there with Rachel, Racing Rachel. I was able to do some handicapping with her for one of their all quarter horse cards, I want to say 2013. So I haven't been there in a while, but it's a nice facility. So I like that the AQHA is obviously also behind all this. So there's a lot of things moving in the right direction now.
Yeah, just taking every steps for progress, gets the fans back involved. Maybe some fell out of favor with some of the stories we've had in the past. But like I said, all the testing, trying to keep the bad apples out, like you said, just we're doing what we can to clean up the sport and make everything on the up and up.
All right, let's pick some winners, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, bye, everybody.
See ya.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.